with you again. Last time we were here was the Johnson's induction, which we enjoyed very much indeed, but here we are again, and we just come over for the weekend. When I was growing up in New Zealand, I always looked forward to the changing seasons for a variety of reasons. Because during school holidays, you could always get a job on the farms. When it was springtime, you could go down and help with the lambing or the docking. Or when summer came, there was the shearing shed. And I usually liked to be the fleecer. The fleecer was the person who picked up as the shearer took the fleece off, you picked it up and you put it on a table. You fold it like that and you fold it like that and then you rolled it like that and you put it in a big sack. And we used to spend about, 10 hours a day doing that at great speed. But I used to love doing that. Or we could go out and pick soft fruit. And then the early autumn time, you could work in the fruit orchards or in the vineyards. But this is the point I'm making. It's no use going hay making in the spring because there's no hay. And it's no use going fruit picking in the winter because there's no fruit. To be involved in the work on the farm, you had to know what season it was. You see? And the most important question that faces us as followers of Jesus is simply, what season are we in? What season of the Spirit are we in at this time? Or are we moving seasons? Are we going into a new season of the Spirit? What is happening? I suppose it's the same question as asking, what is the Spirit saying to the church? Because once we know that, we have a confidence to be involved in what God is initiating. And in that sense, we become workers together with God. And there's nothing more exciting than that, is it? It's just wonderful. Because you know this is what God is doing, so all we need to do is to sign up for it, and we become part of it. We are workers together, with him. Now, Amos the prophet said this. He said, "The sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." And notice the word prophets is in the plural. God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And therefore, whenever God is about to move season, or whenever the season begins to change in the church, it's the prophets that get it. They're the people, obviously, who see that first. And the prophets today are saying that we're entering into a season of restoration and transformation. If you take nothing more from this, we're going into a season of restoration and transformation. And this is being seen in visions and dreams, in prophetically highlighted scripture, in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Because God is making a greater power available to restore and transform his people and his church. That's what's happening. I spoke recently, I used the word recently advisedly, because when I sometimes say recently, and then later Mary and I have a little discussion about it, she said, "Darling, that was about 30 years ago. It's not that recent." So when I say recent, I sort of mean advisedly the word recent. But anyway, recently, and it was in the early part of the year, I was invited to speak at the Baptist Minister's Annual Conference in Swanwick. And to that, I should think probably 400 Baptist ministers and wives and so on come. And on one particular night, I took as my subject, the prophet is the healer. And at the end, we had a time of ministry, and the Holy Spirit was touching different people's lives, and people were praying with each other. And I just looked over here on the right, and on the right, there was a Baptist minister, and I could see the Holy Spirit was on his life. And I just went over just to bless what God was doing. But his wife, next to him, she was in a wheelchair. And she had been in a wheelchair for 2 years because she had had a serious accident and had damaged her nervous system in the sense that she didn't have any strength in her legs. But anyway, I'd prayed for him, and then I just put my hand on her and just asked Jesus to bring his healing power into her life. Now, I wasn't praying that the Lord would heal her like that. I didn't see that. I was praying that his healing power would come into her life. Well, nothing apparently seemed to, I didn't see anything particularly happen, and the Holy Spirit wasn't on her as he was, as he certainly was on her husband, as I could see it. So the meeting finished, and this lady, she's being pushed back in a wheelchair to the wherever they're going to have coffee, whatever they're having. And she stops her husband, and she said, "Well, just stop for a minute." She said, I just feel I've been healed." She said, "When prayer was being made a moment ago," she said, "I felt a surge of power flow through me." And she said, "I just realized I've been restored." So they stopped the wheelchair, and he put the brakes on, and she stood up, and she walked. And she walked for the rest of the conference. And the only reason we knew this, because the next night she asked whether she could give her testimony, which she did, and she was videoed giving this testimony as to how this happened. You see, in this restoration and transformation, there's a greater power being made available. I see that greater power being made available for this to happen. We have a group at our church called the Artisan, and Artisan, they comprise those who are in the arts and media. And although it's based at our place, it's all over the world, or it's in many different major cities of the world. And it's something that sort of, you know how some things mushroom because the Spirit of God blows on them? Well, this seems to have mushroomed. And one of the girls there, she comes to our church also. She's she has a part in one of the soaps. You know, those soap things. Don't like them myself. Do you like them? No, I don't know. I can never look at that. I can never get into that. But anyway, some people like them. And she likes them because she's in them. But anyway, she had a on the back of her neck. She had quite a lump developing, and her whole spine, as a result, was out of order. And at the Artisan meeting, they all got round to her and they began to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and to bring her healing. And she just felt a real sort of shaking in of her back. And she was completely healed. Her back just went straight like that. And she was up in our church just some Sundays ago, just testifying to that was how it was. And she said it was getting very embarrassing because the medics couldn't do anything about that. And it was difficult, you know, to act with a neck sort of stuck in a particular angle. But that's what it seems to me that the Lord is doing. The Lord is... I'm just obviously illustrating from the whole area of healing, but that's not the main illustration. It's just like, it is an illustration of God's restoring and God's transforming power. Now, Dublin is a city of transformation. You probably don't know that because when you're actually in a place, you don't know what's happening in a place because it's just happening. It's just like, it's normal. But for us coming in, to just to journey a little bit around this wonderful city, you can see so many buildings, old buildings, like Victorian-type buildings. They've all been gutted, and they're all being transformed. I mean, if you said to me as an outsider coming into your city, what is the main thing that you see in the city? I just say restoration. It's just everywhere. You know, whole estates. I mean, we went for a walk the other day, and the whole estate is going to be restored. I mean, it's amazing what's happening here. You may not, you probably do know it, but some of you don't because you just think that's normal. That's what's happening in our place. But coming from outside is quite, it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing that's happening in this great city. Well, 3 years ago, we moved house. We moved into a Victorian house. I think it's probably about 150 years old. And when we first saw this house in our road, it was just awful. You couldn't live in it. It was just like some of those houses here that you see, that the builders got hold of. And we just watched together, Mary and I, as the builders restored it. And what they did, they took everything. They took all sorts of stuff out of it, and all these skips on the road forever and a day. And you think it was never going to end. And they were taking out all the rubbish and all the stuff that has sort of been there for decades and hadn't changed. And then What the builders discovered in that house, because we didn't think we were ever going to be going to live there, we never in 1,000 years. It's wonderful what the Lord can do, isn't it, really? I mean, I never thought we'd be living in that house. But I used to go past, and when I love building, and I that's one of my hobbies. I just like watching building. I like to look at something and see how I'd change it myself if I had the opportunity to change it. Do you ever do that? They call it daydreaming, I suppose. Do you do it sometimes? It's marvelous, isn't it? And it's almost like problem solving. I often like walk past and think, how would I move that? And how could I get that so? And it becomes like a little problem to me. You know, it's kind of none of my business, but it's just like I'm thinking to myself during the day, how am I going to sort that? How am I going to sort that house out? How are we going to get that room moved to there to there? I mean, that's just how I work. But the builders were saying, you know, this house has got incredible foundations. It's got incredible foundations. They're as solid and as strong as the day they were laid. The foundations are, but the rest is an absolute nightmare. So they're getting out, getting rid of the rest, and they're getting down to the foundations. And it was seen to me, this is a picture of the church which God is showing his prophets. So often the abnormal is accepted as the normal. The abnormal is accepted as the normal. But the church's foundations are as solid and as strong as the day they were laid. God has always revealed himself to his people as being like a rock. And he is known as the rock of Israel. He's dependable, he's unchangeable. He provides a firm foundation. And the Apostle Paul sees the church of God as being like a house built upon a rock. Jesus is the rock. He's the living stone. He's the cornerstone. Jesus is the foundation of God's church. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we are called to build upon this foundation. In these days of transformation, in these days of restoration and of transformation, what the Lord is doing, he is taking out of our lives those things that don't belong in our lives, and he's just reestablishing these foundations in us individually and in us corporately. Now Paul names the various ways in which we can build on the foundation of Jesus Christ in our life, and Jonathan read that to start with. We can build on it in such things as with gold and silver and precious stones, meaning using those things that are precious to God. We can build upon that foundation with faith and with love and with mercy and compassion and kindness. That's how we can build on that foundation of Jesus Christ who is in our heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ dwells in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you. That's what we're building upon. Or we can build upon it with wood or hay or straw, meaning using things that cost nothing and are easily destroyed, like religion and traditions and all those things. We can build upon our lives and our lives corporately with those things. But this is what I see is happening. It's like the fire of the Spirit is coming now and showing what we've used. That's what's happening. He's coming and showing what we've used. What have we used? Well, it's very obvious what we've used. And the more that the fire comes, the more obvious it is. It is to see as what a church has built its life on and what we as individuals have built our lives on. When the fire comes, that shows it, as the apostle was saying. And in some places, like this old house that we eventually moved into, having been restored, in some places, the wallpaper's peeling, the carpets are curling, the taps are leaking, and so on. You couldn't live in it, and you couldn't invite people to it. Now, there is a sense in which all the Jewish prophets have a message of transformation and restoration, because that is the very heart of God. It's always been the heart of God to restore and then to transform. That is the nature of the heart of God, you know. We see that so much in Jesus. What was Jesus? What did Jesus spend his life doing? He spent his life doing restoring people. He spent his whole life transforming people. That was what he came to do, to restore and to transform. And that's what the Lord is doing in these days. Now, I want to consider with you a message of a couple of the prophets as we deal with this subject of restoration and transformation. And I just want to look with you just very briefly at the prophet Joel. Now, as I do this, I want to get one point out of this, but as I do that, I'm going to overemphasize the first point because I want to sort of make a big point. Because in the making of this big point, I want to show you the incredible power that's available for this restoration and transformation. It is an incredible power. And therefore, I need to show you the negative from the prophet before I show you the positive and what the Lord has on his heart for us through the Spirit. Now, with Joel, Joel's book is just basically divided into three prophecies: the judgment of God, the restoration of God, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, Joel, first of all, in chapter 1, he sees the judgment of God coming to the nation through three armies of locusts. Now, I just want to spend a bit of time on this one. And this is chapter 1 of Joel and verse 4. It says here, this is the picture. There's this land. This is the land of Israel. And the picture is of judgment of God coming through these swarms of locusts. And there are actually four swarms of locusts that come like a squadron of bombers, and they come upon the nation wave after wave. So the first one comes through and destroys, then another one comes through and destroys, and so on. Let me read 1 verse 4. What the locust swarmers left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the other locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Now, do you know that there are 90 different kinds of locusts? I just did a study on it. Do you know that? Now, that's a very good information for the pub quiz. Because one day you'll be sitting there just minding your own business, and one of the questions will be, how many different varieties of locusts? And you just go like this, 90. How do you know there's 90? Well, I heard this speaker in our church. I don't remember a thing he said. Except he said there are 90 different sorts of locusts. You see, you'll be right in for a prize. There's no doubt about that. So there are 90. And the four involved in this invasion, the four involved which came through the nation, was the hopping locust, the cutting locust, the swarming locust, and the destroying locust. Now, the destruction was immense. And I'm just going to pray see it, not just read each verse. I'm going to pray see what happened. This is what happened. There was the destruction of the vines and the figs, the wheat and the barley, the pomegranates, the palms and the apples. And as they came, they stripped the bark from the trees. The flocks were dying, with no seed for the sower. Fires were breaking out uncontrollably, and the worship of God had ceased. Let me summarize it. This is the summarize. This is how the prophet summarizes it. He said, before, as the locust came before them, was like the Garden of Eden. It was absolutely fantastic before them. Behind them was a desert. You got it? Before them, it was just wonderful. But as they came through, behind was a desert. Six times, it says here, everything is dried up. Now, these literal swarms of locusts historically symbolized the Babylonian army that came and brought invasion. And they came, historically, we can read that, they came just like that. But equally, there's a prophetic insight here into the Lord's army. But the wonderful thing is that as the hearts of the people turned, there came a promise of restoration. And this is what I just want to bring to you this morning. It's in chapter 2 of the prophet and verse 25. Now, we've seen the incredible devastation that's happened, haven't we? I've sort of painted that picture. From the prophet. But this is what he says. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. 2:25. The great locust and the young locust and the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I send among you. The Lord says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Well, what about the power for that then? What he's saying is whatever the destruction was, there's the power that's going to be there for restoration. That's what he says. He's going to restore it. Meaning there's no area of our life cannot be restored. That's what it means, isn't it? There's enormous power available for restoration. And the prophecy in chapter 2 and verse 28 goes on to say, the Lord will do this through his Spirit. Afterwards, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. So, this restoration and transformation is happening through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the point. That's the point I wanted to get to. And that presence and that power is an unlimited presence and power, you see. In our church, we have times like Jonathan led this morning, and a person feels they've got something that the Lord's spoken to them, then they come and they share that. Well, I was going to say recently, but it was probably two autumns ago. There was a chap came up and to share. His name's Hugo. And Hugo had been a Christian for about 10 minutes. I should think he's in his late 30s, isn't he? But he had just become a Christian. And it's just an observation. There's sometimes when a person does become a Christian, they get an almighty anointing or empowering of a certain gift. And he had this a prophecy. He just suddenly went into the whole realm of visions and dreams and inner knowing and seeing things and so on. It was just quite uncanny, really, from somebody who just came out, from nothing, if you would, suddenly into a life of Jesus. That was what was released in him. Anyway, he got up, and this is what he said. He said, this is what I dreamt last night. And he said, I was standing by two motorways. One motorway was going that way, and one motorway was going that way, and lots of cars going there. And just here was a green balloon with a red string. And in my dream, I'm thinking, how is that green balloon with a red string going to get across the road? I don't know. How would it get across the road? So he's watching it, and the wind comes, and it picks it up, and it drops it in the motorway, and the cars are going by. But it's all right. It's safe. It just seems to get there, and cars miss it. Then the wind takes it again and puts it in the next motorway where the car's going that way. And again, it just seems to be all right. It's not harmed. And eventually it gets right across the motorway. And then in his dream, he just hears these words. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Well, as he was saying that, Mary and I were sitting together, and I was just thinking to myself, gosh, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. This is the word, really. And we were going into a new, September's a new season, and we were going into a new season, And we had lots of different initiatives happening, like you do, and we had different people leading them. So Mary and I thought, we decided we would just, one morning, we'd just pray for them all. And so we came together to pray, and we focused on the person, on the work that was happening, the person who was leading it, and we just began to pray for them. And we were just moving through these other initiatives, and we were really praying above all that the Holy Spirit would come and just touch, those who are leading it would really be touched by God's Spirit to lead it through revelation. That's the key thing. That's what we're praying. And then Mary she knocked me. She said, darling, look out the window. And we were at one story up. And I looked out the window, and going past the window was a green balloon with a red string. Now, you mathematicians, give me odds. You gamblers, give me odds on it. What's the odds on that? See, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's all through the Spirit. And this whole thing of restoration and transformation, it's all by the Spirit. We can't do it, but the Lord can do it, and he can do it in that way. Come with me just back a prophet, to Hosea the prophet. And I'd just like to, chapter 14 and just verse 1 to 2, and then I want to go to chapter 4, chapter 6 of the prophet. But this is what he says here, Hosea 14:1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Would you come with me to chapter 6? And just for three verses. It's like he's saying the same thing. He's picking the same thing up. And it's all to do with restoration. Come, let's return to the Lord. He's torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. And so what he's saying, what the prophet is saying, to those whom the Lord is wanting to restore and to transform, he's saying, come to the Lord with words. Bring words with you. What he's saying there, I sense, is this. Come and tell the Lord what you want to be restored from. That's what he's saying. Come and tell him. So when you come for, you tell him, Lord, I want to be restored from whatever it is. I want to be restored, Lord, for that. And therefore, come into the Lord's presence, having said what you're wanting him. What area of your life are you wanting him to come and restore? What area of our church do we want him to restore and to transform? What is it? And I think when we express things in words, we're actually expressing faith. Because when I say that, I'm believing that I believe, one, that God's hearing me. He's actually hearing what I'm saying. And secondly, I'm believing because he's God, he can do something about it. He can actually do what he says that he can do. And this is what he says he'll do. He said he will heal us. It's like he has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. And the word heal, if you go back into that word, it's a word salvation, from which the word save and the word salvation and to heal, it's all part of that. And what that word actually means is this. It means to bring into a wide open space. That's what it means. That's exactly what it means. So that when we are saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's a difficult concept. What do you mean, be saved? Well, be saved means to be brought into a wide open space and into an incredible place of freedom. That's what that word means. And so what he's saying, the first thing he's saying, he will heal us. Secondly, he will bind us up. He injured us, but he'll bind up our wounds. And that's what Jesus has come. He comes to bind up the broken heart. And nobody can bind up the things of the heart because nobody can get there to do it. But Jesus, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, you know, to bring good news to Paul, to bind up the broken heart. The Lord can do that. He can actually do that by the power of his Spirit. He revives us. He gives us life. That's what he's saying here as we come to him. And it's the picture there from Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. The Lord just put life into it and the whole thing got going again. And the Lord is the author of life, the creator of life. And when we come to him for this restoration, he just imparts life. And whatever area of our life that we're seeking life, here it comes now. It's just like, here it comes. Because when we come to Jesus, he's come that we may have life. So he wants us to come and have the life. So as we come, he imparts the life to us. He's got the power. He is the life creator. He will restore us. Again, on the third day, he will restore us. And God is making a greater power available to restore his people. And the reason that God seeks to restore us are twofold. One, that we might live in his presence. That we might live in his presence. That we might be, as it were, a worshiping people. And secondly, we might burst forth in evangelism. That we would acknowledge him and tell what he has done. That was wonderful. The girl came and just shared that, didn't it, at the end. How they'd been down at one of the streets and just shared. We're sharing the life of Jesus with others. It's a way you can do it, but I think it's a one. That's what it's about. That's the outworking of the restoration. The outworking of the restoration is the bursting forth, telling others of what the Lord has done. For the Lord is restoring us in order that we may be able to restore them. That's the point. I've just got 5 minutes to go. I'm a great timekeeper. Do you know that? I am. Everyone knows that at our place. They can set their clock when I get up. And that's what they do sometimes. But anyway, I always write on time. I never go over time. But the only person who knows the exact time I'm going to finish is the Lord and myself. That's rather a secret thing. But anyway, I'm watching the clock at the back, and we're going to have some prayer in a minute. And what we're going to do in a minute, this will just give you a forewarning. I just felt the Lord. Some of you, the Lord has put it like a prophetic anointing on you. Some of you are beginning to have like God initiated dreams and visions, and you're beginning to see things from the heart. And some of you are beginning to have that like that inner knowing about things. It's like God is releasing. There are a number of you here. Some of you are intercessors as well, praying people, but you're praying out of revelation. That's it. You're seeing things, and then so often, when the Lord puts that sort of gift on people, He shows them, you know, through the Spirit what's up, you know, what's coming. And so often, the intercessors are those who call it into being. They see it and they call it into being. That's what I sense an intercessor. So we would like to pray. There's a fresh anointing coming on the prophets. I just believe that. And I think, so we just need to pray for you. And afterwards, I'm going to invite you to come over here on the right-hand side just to be there. And we just like to anoint you. And then the Lord is also, I'll tell you about that in a minute. I'll just tell you, I've just got another 4 minutes to tell you this. Now, we had at our, there's a Russian man called Sergei Fedorovich. If you haven't heard of him, maybe one day you will hear of Sergei. Sergei was a mafia leader. He was a drug addict. He was doing quite an extended time in prison in Moscow. And he is eventually let out, and he goes to get a gun to shoot the person who had got him in there. And on the way to do this, he goes into a church, into an old Orthodox church, and as he comes to the front of the church, and he's standing there, and it's raining in the church. And it's raining gold leaf, and this gold leaf is raining all around him. And the power of God comes on him, and he falls to the ground. And Jesus reveals himself to him, and immediately takes his addiction off him. Just like that. Like that. Okay. Now, we've got a documentary maker in our church called Jez Hyam. And Jez makes sort of like programs for Channel 4 sometimes, or Channel 5. But anyway, he had been out there to Russia. He was doing a story on Sergei. So anyway, Sergei comes to our church. I knew nothing about Sergei, but Jez had an evening for those who would like to see the film unedited, just like clips of the film about Sergei's life, you see. So a lot of people turned up to see that, and Mary and I turned up. We turned up late, and I remember we stood at the back, and I looked down, and all the action was here. The screens were here, and things were being shown, and I saw this big chap, like a bear-like chap at the front row. And as I looked at him, the Lord began to speak into my heart. That's why I was just saying about the prophetic. The Lord is seeking just to release much more of it. Do come in and join us. And he was doing much more, like just releasing that gifting. But anyway, I'm looking at him, and the Lord just tells me some stuff about him, you see. So, at the very end, I went up to his translator, and I said to him, look, I'm one of the leaders here, and so on and so on. And I said, I'd like to pray for Sergei. I just then knew who he was, you see. But anyway, I prayed for him, and as I prayed for him, I spoke over him the words that the Lord had shown me when I was at the back. And this big chap begins to weep and cry and shake like this, you see. And I said to the translator, well, what's happening? What's the deal? And he said, well, Sergei has said, you have said the exact words that Jesus said to him on the floor of that church. He said, they're exact words. And he said, Sergei is going through such a difficult time at the moment, because out of that, he's got about 50 or 60 rehabs all over Russia. He's got 50 or 60 churches. The smallest about 200, the biggest about 3,000. It's just gone like a fire. It's just like a mushroom. It's just mushroomed, that movement, that work of God. Well, anyway, why I'm telling you that is, we then see some footage of this, of what is happening. And we see Sergei, and he goes into one of these sort of like, you know, those flats, which is just like a disgusting place. You can't even believe it. You go in, and it's just bottles and rubbish and cans everywhere. Go into this room, and there's a big bed, and this chap's in bed with his mother, and they're absolutely gone. They're on heroin. So Sergei goes in. He's got two mates with him, and they go in. And he says to this chap, he says, "Do you want to?" He shook him, and he said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the chap said, "Well, I can never be. I mean, I can't be healed. How can I ever be healed?" He said, "Do you want to be?" He said, "Well, if someone could do it." So Sergei says, "I want you to pray after me this prayer." And so he's praying, and the prayer is, "Jesus Christ, I cannot help myself. I pray that you'll restore me and transform me and free me." So he prays it. And then he's sitting on the bed, absolutely gone. Then his mother gets out. She's absolutely disgusting and, just dirty. Anyway, she gets out, and he says, do you want to be healed? And she said she did, but she said no one could ever heal her. And so he said, pray this prayer. And then those three chaps, they're sort of laying, they just pray for this chap and his mum. Okay, I saw that's on the screen. Now, earlier this year, I'm in the Caucasus, and I'm, because he invited me out to speak at some of his churches. So I'm out in the Caucasus, and I'm speaking at this public meeting in this town. I don't know what it was called. But anyway, there was the ministry and so on. And at the end, I hope I can really say this now because it was just unbelievable. At the end, this chap and his mother came to say hello to me. He's trained to be a pastor. And his mother is the cook of the school. Isn't that wonderful? I can hardly believe these things. And you know, the amazing thing is, I know God does, you can't transfer one thing to another place, but the amazing thing about that, and we spend a lot of time in their centers and so on, whoever came in, it doesn't matter how long they'd been on it, they came off it like that. They just came off it because it was almost like an anointing was on the place. And you just had to walk into the anointing, you lost it. I mean, I've never seen that in my whole life. Never ever dreamt that it could ever happen. But I saw it, and I must end now because I've got 1 minute. But we were at one, because they have lots of different rehabs. Some can be six men, some can be eight men, some can be a dozen men, some can be 50, and equally with girls and women. You know, they have different, because people, this is what's happening there, because people, there are obviously also wealthy people in Russia, and sometimes one of their kids has just been completely gone on drugs, and then they've been completely freed, and father has been wanting this for, he didn't know what was going to happen. And now he said, what can I do? So sometimes then he might buy a big house with 12 rooms and say, well, why don't you, Sergei, you have the house, do it in the house, have it going in my house, I'll put the house up for you. So all these things, different people providing those sort of things. But the incredible thing, this chap came in, and Jez and I had just gone down to do a little Bible reading. I think about probably a dozen men there. This man, I think he came in the night before. He came, and he'd been on it for 20 years. He just couldn't be off it. And when it was like test me time, and he got up, it was the next night, Saturday night. And he got up and said, I'm completely free. I've been on this 20 years. He said, I woke up this morning, I don't even want it. Just gone. I just do not want it. It's gone off me. And I just couldn't believe that either. I mean, he'd been living on the streets for 20 years, and there he was with these chaps. Anyway, that's the Lord, isn't it? It's restoration and transformation. That's what the Lord's about. It's a wonderful thing. And the power is available. There's no doubt about that. So let's stand together exactly on past.